Okay, we got a big Shabbos coming up. Shabbos Chanukah. Where are my notes? All right. Parsha begins. Start with a short vart.
Yosef's got so many parshiyot. He's like one of the avot.
What, Yosef? Yosef, yeah, Yosef. Yeah.
His mamashah is unbelievable.
Vayeshev Yaakov Yeretz and Migriyav Yeretz Kanan Eile Toldos Yaakov. Yosef is what we call the Toldos of Yaakov. We learned this in the night. Either it means the Iker, his primary focus, his progeny. He focused on Yosef, or Eile Toldos Yaakov. This is the first episode. These are the episodes, the Gilgulim and the all of his the Klal Yisrael's journeys, the sequence of events that led them to ultimately build the Beis HaMikdash. The first story is Yosef. Okay, we are introduced to Yosef here with the following words. He was 17 years old. Yosef ben 17 shana hayo royes echa batzayin v'hu na'ar. Wow, what a word, huh? Hu na'ar. He was a na'ar. And there are many pirushim what this means. We learned Baruch Hashem this week. We learned with the Targum. We learned that there are different ideas what it really means. The word nar, that doesn't necessarily mean anything negative. But let's just focus on Rashi for the moment. Let's exclusively focus on the parish of Rashi. Rashi says nar means what? Oise masenaros. Shehoye oise masenaros. He did things like a nar, a young man. Mesakein bisoroi. He was mesakein, he fixed his hair. He spent time in the hair salon. Memashmesh be'enav, he played around with his eyes, which I told you must mean that he went to the movies. he gave his eyes some pleasure. And he looked at things he should not be looking at. Oise maisenaros, he was watching television, he was giving his eyes some pleasure. He had nice, beautiful, long hair. Kidei sheyihye nire yofe. He should look beautiful. What were the consequences of this Maisenaros? Nothing. He was a good guy. It says here the next words are Esbenei Vilov Yesbenei Zilpa, which Rashi learns that Koloimar, Rogil Eitzel Bnei Vila, Lefishoyu Echov Mivazin Oisan Vuhu Mikarvan. He was a great guy, Yosef. He helped out. He was helping the underdog. He was there to be there for everyone. He was there to help out the people that suffered. He was there to come to their aid. And then it goes on to say, "Okay, vayave Yosef es dibasamro el aviyam." He brings an evil report to their father. All of their averos. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a dent. The Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol banav ki ven zikunim ulovi os like his son is passing. Everything is pretty good. Later, when Yosef was taken down to Egypt, he sold as a slave, and the Yosef hurad mitzrayma, and he was purchased by Potiphar. And then it says here, suddenly, Vayachar hadvarim ho'ele, Vatiso eishes adonav es einecho el Yosef, Vatoymer shechvo imi. Rashi, Pasuk Zayin, Rashi here says, Vayihi, and it's what it says, I'm sorry, I go to go back to the Pasuk before, Vayazov kol ha'shelo biyad Yosef, Potiphar, he appointed Yosef to be in charge of his entire home, Rashi says, "Vayhi Yosef yifei soyar, kevan sheroho atzmai moishel." He saw that he was a leader, he was a ruler, he was in charge of the dungeon. What kind of job was that? Okay, you're a warden. It's not exactly something I don't think is such a great job, but kevan shero atzmai moishel. Hischil, he began oichel v'shoise, to eat and drink, umisalsel b'so'oroi, and play with his hair, beautify his hair, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avicha Misabel V'ata Misalsel B'sarecha. Your father is mourning over you, and you're playing with your hair. Ani migore b'cho es hadoiv. I'm going to provoke a bear to attack you. You're going to now suffer. You're going to suffer big time. One of just a very small, innocent point. Maybe what I'm saying is nonsense, probably is. Twice in this parasha, we learn that Yosef was playing around with his hair. In the beginning of the parasha, v'hu nar, Rashi says, what does it mean to be a nar? He was playing with his hair. And here, when Yosef was in the dungeon, he was in charge. He also began to be very comfortable with his life, and he began to play with his hair. When Yosef played around with his hair at the beginning of the parasha, nothing happened to him. There were no consequences. Playing with his hair did not bring a response. It says there, Vayove Yosef is dibosom ro'el aviem. He got into trouble because of what he said, because he started saying things that they didn't like. He told them his dreams, and he started bringing to their father slanderous reports. But when he started playing with his hair, nothing. There is no criticism. He's called an nar. Gesunde, hey, you want to be an nar? Be an nar. Big deal. You want to play with your hair? Play with your hair. Fine. Who's interested? Here, when he starts to play with his hair, Hashem says, what in the world are you doing? You're playing with your hair? Your father is an avelus? And you're playing with your hair? You know what? I'm going to send the bears to attack you. What's the difference? So I want to say just a very simple point. In the beginning of the parasha, Rashi's words are very, very precise. In the beginning of the parasha, Rashi uses the word misakein b'sa'aroi. He fixed, tikkun. He was misakein b'sa'aroi. Here, when he was in the dungeon, it says he was misalsel b'sa'aroi. Now, what's the difference between the word misakein b'sa'aroi?
Indulge. Let me, is that indulge?
Misalsel?
Yeah.
Misalsel means to, I don't even know a precise translation. To me, it's all the same. Misakein b'sa'aroi, in my vocabulary, to the most people means you go to a hair salon and you look on the wall and they have these models of people with beautiful hair and you say, I want you to make a haircut for me just like that guy on the wall. Right? Remember those days in the barbershops? I don't think they have them anymore in the barbershops. There's no barbershops anyway anymore. Corona knocked them all out. But in the olden days, in the Friedrich Doris, when you went to the barbershop, they always had on the wall pictures of these people with gorgeous hair. Like, how do you have such nice hair? Where do these guys get... And they had these beautiful haircuts. Today, in the barbershops, I don't think they have pictures anymore of people with such beautiful hair, not at least the ones that I go to. But what's the difference? Misakein b'sa'aroi and misalsel b'sa'aroi. They both mean the same thing. You have a very nice haircut. You want to look good. You want to feel good. You want to, you know, be presentable. Yet in the beginning of the parasha, it provoked nothing. There's no response. It's so good for you. You're a nar. 17 years old, he wants to play with your hair. A 17-year-old, I guess, in the time of Chazal, Yaakov Avinu, I guess he was expected at the time he was 17 years old to shape up and not to be misalsel b'saro, not to hang out in the wrong places. No, he's not the biggest masmid. No, so he won't get the best shidduch. No, so, you know, big deal. So he's misalsel b'saro, so he's misakim b'saro. No big deal. Here, ooh, you're misalsel b'saro. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not happy, and he provokes the beer. What's the difference? The difference is the word. And I wanted to try to use an example. There are people in this world that are blessed. You see that? You see there are people in this world that have, Hashem gives them enormous blessing, Gashmias. They have, money is not an issue. There are many people like that. Money is not an issue. What do they do with their wealth? So you see this. There are people that enjoy it. Imamish, they enjoy their wealth. I have this money. I want to drive I would just enjoy driving around in my expensive car. I want to go to Florida, go to every exotic location in this world. I just want to enjoy it. That's called misalsel b'sa'aray. That's not good. When a person is blessed with wealth, blessed with bracha, and you acknowledge, I have all of this wealth, but I want to use it. I'm using it for a higher purpose. I am taking the bracha that Hashem has sent me, and I'm being misakein it. Tikkun. Lesakein oilam b'malchus shakai. The whole question, what's the correct girsa? Is it lesakein with a chaf or with a tough? We read it, we have an hour of siddur, it has a tough. Lesakein with a tough, which means to fix. Lesakein oilam b'malchus shakai. This world is a world of bracha. There's enormous blessing in this world. And the goal is to take that bracha and be misakein it, to fix it. How is it used in Aleinu? What does it mean, lesakein olam b'malchus shakai in Aleinu? It means to take what Hashem has put into this world and elevate it and use it as a tool to enhance the honor of Hashem. That's called tikkun. Misalsel. That's not tikkun. That's personal pleasure. I'm here to enjoy myself. It's the same exact hairdo. You have two people. They sit down in the barber chair, and the barber gives them exactly the same haircut. And they both walk out looking like a prince. But one person who walks out of the barber shop, he says, ah, this was a tikkun. I look good, so I can now be presentable and use my influence to make this world a better place, to serve Hashem. That's called misakein b'sa'aray. And then there's a person, 5 minutes later, gets the exact same hairdo and walks out of the barbershop. Ah, I feel good. I'm enjoying myself. Everyone else, who cares about them? Let them all suffer. All of those foolish people in this world who don't know between their right and left hand, too bad for them. They're a bunch of losers. I'm the one who's blessed. Look at my beautiful hair, my beautiful life, my wealth, my success. That's called misalsel b'sa'aray. Yosef, in the beginning of the parasha, v'hu na'ar, es b'nei bila v'es b'nei zilpa. Who says it's an insult? We are brainwashed to think that Rashi is insulting him. He was misakein b'sa'oise ma'senarus. He does things that young people do. He was misakein b'sa'oroi u'memashmesh be'enaf. So I read you the Rashi in the most derogatory way possible, because I'm a nasty guy. As I said, what does it mean he was misakein b'sa'oroi? He was in the hair salon hanging out with the wrong people. He was memashmesh be'enav, meaning he was watching television, going to the movies, being nichshol in shmirah seinayim. Who says? It says misakein Rashi doesn't say he was misalsel b'sa'aray. He was misakein b'sa'aray. Lesakein oilam b'malchus shakai. Yosef was a young man, 17 years old. He was blessed. He was charismatic. He was good looking. He took the bracha that Hashem gave him, beautified himself to be a person of influence. He was misakein nar. He was oisema senarus in a positive way. Tikkun, not silsul. Mimashmesh be'enav. What is the next words of the pasuk? Es b'nei bila, b'nei zilpa. He was mimashmesh. He looked, what is going on in this world? Look, there are victims. My brothers, the b'nei hashvachos, the b'nei bila, b'nei zilpa, they're being abused. He saw it. Most people don't see it. They don't want to see it. They're not interested in seeing it. They're too busy with themselves. They're not interested in seeing what's going on out there in the world. It's Maisa Naris. A nar likes to look around. A nar likes to look around and see what's going on. A nar has a big Yetzer Hara to see a lot of bad things. It's a Maisa Naris to look around and to faputz yourself. Thank you very much for the coffee. And to beautify yourself. But that's not Yosef. Rashi doesn't say he was misalsel. He was misakein besaro. And the next words of Mimashmesh Be'enov lead into the Pasuk, B'nei Bila B'nei Zilpa, he saw that they were victims of crimes. He saw that they suffered. He saw it. And he did something about it. That's good.
A beautiful pshat, except it says Misakein is Sa'aroi. It doesn't say Misakein is Sa'olam. It doesn't say Misakein quality work.
A young person is in a stage in his life where he has koichos. He has things that older people don't have. A young person is charming, he's good looking, he represents the future. He took advantage of those masenaros. He was misaking it. Just like in Olenu, we say l'sakein oilam b'malchus shakai. That is a positive term. That's not a negative term. That's the most beautiful term possible. That's the highlight of Olenu. So Yosef, he's a young man. Youth brings with it blessing. He took the nairus and he used it for good. He was misaking the nairus by taking it. It's even a mushal. The here represents youth. When you get older, there's nothing there. Grass does not grow on empty, on busy streets.
Look who you're talking to.
We have a lot of people here that have nice hair. Yeah, Blazer, yeah, very nice hair, Blazer. Well, only we all had hair like a Blazer, we would be in good shape. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shakol Nieh B'Dvaray.
Amen. You know, we're talking about two different environments. One is at home in an environment of Kedusha and Tara, and the other is in an environment of Tumah and immorality. So even if you're doing the same action,
you're influenced by your environment. You are influenced by your environment. My point is, in this week's parasha, this is the point I want to make. It's a small point. I don't want to spend time with it. Is the beginning of the parasha, the Olam, the Vel reads this Rashi in a very negative way. They're very critical of Yosef. Who nar? Wow, what an insult. That's below the belt. Okay, that's a real insult. Masakin, Masar, Mimashin, Shbeinav, 17-year-old boy, that's why Yosef. So my point is, I would also go along with that. But you know what woke me up? Because later in the parasha, when Yosef was in Egypt, and he was by Potiphar, Rashi talks about his sar, emphasizes the here over and over. Your father's an avelus, and you're being misalsel besaroi. It's the same Rashi. It's only a few psukim later. Rashi knows what he's writing. Rashi's words are very precise. Why did Rashi in the beginning of the parasha write l'sakin besaroi, and later in the parasha write l'salsel besaroi? So you know what that means? We're not giving Yosef a fair chance. What it says in the beginning of the parasha, he was misakin besaroi, that's not an insult, that's a compliment. That's a compliment. And when Rashi goes on to say that it was mamashmeish, that's not an insult, it's a compliment, and the proof is in the pudding, because the next words of the pasuk say that he went to the defense of the victims. You have to be very careful dealing with Yosef. And the Musar Haskel is, when a person has blessing in this world, what do you do with the blessing? Do you use the blessing as pure benefit, or do you use the blessing as an opportunity to do good? It's a world of a difference. To an observer, someone who doesn't know what's going on, it all looks the same, but it's not all the same. Two people walk out of a barbershop, one person, you can say, he was misakin besaroi, and the other one who comes out of the barbershop, he was misalsel besaroi. Two different, exactly the same haircut, but two different perspectives, two different frames of mind. Okay, next part. Let's go further. Mechiras Yosef. This is the ultimate stain on Klal Yisrael. Mechiras Yosef, we read about three times a year. Tisha B'Av, Yom HaKippurim, and this week's parasha. Mechiras Yosef. It's a horrible, horrible event that has tainted us. The brothers can't get along, and they actually go so far to sell their brother. Chazal are very much in the business of defending the children of Yaakov for their desire to eliminate their brother. Mounds of evidence, mounds of, you could have lawyers lining up from one end of the country to the other, arguing in defense of the Achei Yosef, why they sold him. Legitimate. Many, many reasons why they felt that their actions were 100% legitimate. These were not simple people. They viewed Yosef as a threat to Klal Yisrael. They saw in him things that they really felt would mushroom and wipe out Klal Yisrael down the line. And they were Beis Din. It says in Chazal, the Shekhinah was resting with them. Hashem was part of their Beis Din. And they made a psak halacha that he's a roidef. He has to be eliminated. So if there is grounds, if we can go and bring forward some heavy-duty arguments, I mean heavy-duty arguments, that the Achei Yosef were within their rights to proceed with this plan to eliminate this person, why then, where's the smoking gun? Why then does this episode haunt us forever? Why? You can search all over, you'll find, like I said, you'll find incredible statements of Chazal, why they were right. But the bottom line is, they were wrong. The bottom line is, we suffer ad hayoyim hazeh from Mechiras Yosef. On Yom HaKippurim, it's a highlight. On Tisha B'Av, it's a highlight. The Shabbos, it haunts us. It haunts us. Here we are, Shabbos Chanukah. It's a bittersweet Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai. This is not a happy Shabbos. And maybe you make the bracha, she'osa nisim lavoseinu bayomim ahim azman hazeh. But you know something? It's a very sad Shabbos. Mechiras Yosef. But why? Maybe they were right. So let's discover. So I'm telling you a very simple part. It's very simple. The smoking gun is in one pasuk. When Yehuda comes and he says they throw him into a pit, v'haborek, ein boi mayim, mayim ein boi nechoshim, v'akrovim yeshbo. He should have died in the pit. He was already finished. And Yehuda comes along and they're sitting there, they're eating, they have accomplished their plan. And Yehuda then says, Mabetza, what profit is in it for us in this Mechira? Mabetza, let me read the words of the Pasuk. Let me just give me 1 second to find the pasuk. The words are Vayavru, Vayishu Labor Vaborek, Vayishu Lechalechem. Okay, and then Vayoymer Yehuda Lechov Mabetza. Kinaharoges Achinu Vichisinu, and we cover over Estoma his blood. Lechuvenim Karenu Layishmelim, let's sell him. We'll get a couple of bucks, we'll buy some shoes. There's a sale. Black Friday, Cyber Monday. You can buy a nice pair of shoes, half price. Go to the website. We'll have a couple of bucks, and we'll have some good shoes. Oh, we'll be a tzaddik also. You know, we won't touch him. He's our brother. And then let's go. Let's ask another question. Who's the person who really didn't want to kill him from the very beginning, which we're going to get to in a moment? Reuven. Reuven didn't want to kill him. Reuven comes. What happens? Reuven really didn't want to kill him. And Reuven arrives. Vayoshav Reuven. He was not present. El habar v'hine ein Yosef babar. So Reuven should be happy. Right? Reuven, what was the plan? Let's understand what's going on here. The plan was to murder him. That's the plan. The plan is to kill him. That's the plan. To kill him. Reuven has to now go do, it's his day, he has to be Mishamish. Rashi says either it was his day to be Mishamish, his father, or he was going to do teshuva for the Mabalbal, the bed of his father. So he's not present. He comes back. What would he expect when he comes back? He's probably dead. That's the likelihood. Reuven wanted to save him. He wasn't able to save him at the moment because the brothers were set on killing him. He was outnumbered. So he delayed. There was a delay. What was the delay? Throw him into a pit. Let's think about this. Let's not be impetuous. Let's just think about this. He comes back. What is the likelihood that he's still alive? Almost 0%. Because that was the plan. He delayed it a short amount of time. And guess what? He's not there. You know what that means? He's alive. Od Yosef Chai. So Reuven should be jumping for joy. He's alive. I wanted to save him. My brothers would probably kill me if I tried to save him. At least I did was I delayed the murder by a few minutes. I come back, he's not here, which means he's alive. So I didn't have to lose my life over saving him, and he's alive. Where is he? Who cares where he is? We'll find him. We'll get a hold of him, whatever. He's alive. He's alive, he's alive. We'll make his way back. He should be jumping for joy. And you know what he does? Vayikra es begodav. He writes his kriya. I'm now doomed. What? You should be happy. He's alive. You wanted to save him. The answer is very simple. They wanted this. We mentioned before, we have lawyers from one end of the world to the other that will come to defend the actions of the brothers. It was done l'shem shamayim. Yosef, the summary of all the Mahalchim, of all the Mefarshim, you want to summarize all the different approaches, why they wanted to kill him. The bottom line is, he is a threat to Klal Yisrael in the long run. His midos will mushroom and destroy Klal Yisrael. He must be eliminated. We're killing him l'shem shamayim. This is 100% l'shem shamayim. You know what the smoking gun is? Mabetza. We want a few dollars. Mabetza. Once we're doing it l'shem shamayim, we might as well make a couple of dollars. We want some money. You want money? You want money? You want parnasa from this also? You want to go and do it l'shem shamayim, and you should also make a couple of dollars? Impossible. Impossible. If money comes to you, money comes to you. But to make it a condition to profit off an action that you're telling the world is l'shem shamayim, this is not l'shem shamayim. Someone comes to you and says, we want to go do something. You know, I'm not going to go say my tirade now over here. But you know, when people come to you and they tell you, we have a big tzar in Klal Yisrael, and we have to do something l'shem shamayim to bring a salvation for Klal Yisrael, to bring a miracle for Klal Yisrael. And on the side, the people who are involved in this miracle for Klal Yisrael are making a lot of money. A lot of money. Mabetza. What, you think we work for free? You think we work for free? Mabetza. Oh, you're making money. This is not l'shem shamayim. Don't give me this business that is l'shem shamayim. It's not l'shem shamayim. You have a day job. So your day job, you'll make your parnasa. You want to do l'shem shamayim? You want to be paid also and tell me it's l'shem shamayim? The moment Yehuda said, Mabetza, And when the pasuk goes forward, the smoking gun is, you know what the smoking gun is? Not even the word mabetza. It's the next words when it says, Vayishmeu echov. And Rashi goes to town. What does it mean, the word Vayishmeu? They said, they accepted. They didn't just listen. Yeah. It's a good idea. Let's make a couple of bucks. L'chuvenim k'rinu la yishmeilim. Let's sell him. V'yadeinu al tivo, and they fooled themselves, and they said, oh, well, you know, he's our brother, you know, everything. The moment there's money involved, it's over. It goes to show retroactively, this was not done l'shem shamayim. This was done out of jealousy, out of sinas chinam. It was rotten from the beginning. The mabetza of Yehuda and Vayishmu Echov is the smoking gun that Mechiras Yosef is a big lie. This argument that it was all done l'shem shamayim, that you'll find in all the Mamorei Chazal, which is all true. These are all very legitimate things that are presented, which give you a havmin of why it should be so. But you cannot deny the fact that in our day and age, the bottom line is, this is the biggest crime in the history of the world, the biggest stain for Klal Yisrael, and the proof is Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, and the Shabbos, is because you ruined it. You revealed what it's really all about. It's all about money. Mabetza. Vayishmu echov. And this is just an amazing Musa Haskel for society. Today, when you're involved in different organizations, and there's no question, you got to make a living. Everyone's entitled to make, no one works for free. You have to make a living. That's how the world operates. But there's always an area where there's always a danger of when it gets greedy, where people who are involved in organizations, in acts of chesed, where there is money to be made, and money has to be made. You have to run an organization as a business, because if it's not going to run as a business, then there's not going to be an incentive to do the chesed. We all know that. The yeshivas that are private institutions today are pretty good. They run very well because there is an incentive. There's a need. There's an incentive. You make this your parnasa. This is your parnasa. So we live in a world that's extremely complex. You have to run an organization in the modern world as a business. Business has to be like that in the modern 21st century. It doesn't work any other way today. But yet there is still this gray area of when it's no longer just a parnasa. It's an opportunity to get rich. It's a mabetza. There's a difference between parnasa and mabetza. Betza means let's get rich, not just get paid for our services. And that yetzer hara is there. And when a person is guilty in mabetza, the whole thing's worthless. It's Huvra Hadavah L'Mafreya. All of your actions with the most noble causes, it's not for real. It's just hocus pocus. Okay, now, there's another idea I want to point out, and this really struck me. This struck me after the last 8 months of Corona. Just a simple idea. Who is the one? Let's look at, I told you an idea. I left one very important point. Why was Reuven so upset? You know why he was upset? He would have been very happy had Yosef been dead. Yosef wanted to keep him alive. Reuven desperately wanted to keep him alive. And that's why he told him advice, throw him into the pit. Now he comes back and he realizes that he was sold for money. Money? You sold him for money? That means this whole thing was a sham. If I would have come back and he would have been dead, I would be very happy. I wouldn't be happy because the pasuk explicitly says Reuven does not want him dead. It says in the pasuk, "Beferish Ruach Hakodesh Ameris Leman Hashivo Elaviv." Reuven wants to keep him alive. Okay, I want to keep him alive. you want to kill him because you believe it's L'Shem Shemayim. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong and you're right. Maybe it's L'Shem Shemayim. But when I come back and I find that he was sold for money, there was Betza, oh no. That means you were definitely wrong. And now I'm in a lot of trouble because I'm the oldest person. I'm the one that's going to get the blame. If I would have come back and you behind my back would have killed him, I would be happy. I wouldn't rise queer. I would say, this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. Not every mitzvah is pleasant. Maybe he's a roidef, Yosef. Maybe he's a threat to Klal Yisrael. But you sold him for money? Oh, no, 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 no. Now, this is a crime. This is a real crime. Now, on another light, in a totally different avenue, one of a totally different vart, Reuven is the only one that's upset. Right? This like the mamash leaps off the page. If you've been alive the last 8-9 months and you read this Rashi, it really leaps off the page. What does it say over here? It says that Reuven, he comes back and he's not there. Vayashav Reuven el habar v'nein yosef habar vayikra es begodav. Rashi chavtes. What does it say? Okay, this is not the Rashi I'm looking back. Let's go back to the previous pasuk. Vayishma Reuven. I'm going back to pasuk kafei. Vayatzilehu miyodom, and he saves him miyodom. Vayoyim eloy naken nofesh. Rashi pasuk of aleph. Okay, next pasuk. L'man, I'll read the next pasuk. Al tishbuch udam hashlichu esay elabar hazeh asher b'amidbar v'yod al tishchabul l'man hatzilah esim yadam l'hashu elaviv. Ruach Kadesh Ha'ida al Reuven Shloi Omar Zois Ella Hatzil Oisai. Sheyavo Hu V'yaleh Misham. Why? Omar. Hear the words. Finally. Okay, I'm wasting all your time. Omar. Ani Bechor. The Godol Shebekulon. Lol Yitle Hasirchoin Ella B. I am going to be responsible. Liability. 9 people sold Yosef. 8 of them couldn't care less. 1 person is very, very concerned. You know why? Liability. These last 9 months, all we hear every day, corona, 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 corona. Mask, 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 mask. This. Social distancing, social distancing. So most of the population, I don't know, some do, some don't, but a good chunk of the people, leave me alone. I don't know, good, bad, this, that. Don't drive me crazy. I'm not interested, this, that. Who are the people that are really troubled? The people that are responsible. The Rabbanim. I heard so many stories. Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshivas. I'm responsible. This is my place. If someone dies, it's on my head. How am I going to go to Shemayim if someone dies? I'm the Rav here. The people here in my shul, they're crazy. I don't know what to say. Whatever, they don't believe in this. I don't know. No one knows anything. Who knows? This, that. You believe whatever you want to believe. There's science, no science. No one knows anything. But the Rabbanim, the Rosh Yeshivas, the people who run institutions, people who are owners, they are responsible. It's their decision. And if something happens in their under their jurisdiction, in their makom, they have to face the consequences in this world and in the next world. Liability. Liability is incredible. It creates a whole new reality. I personally couldn't care less. I don't wear a mask at all. But in my yeshiva, everyone has to wear a mask. I can't be responsible. For myself, I can do what I want, but I can't be responsible for everyone. You see that in this, you see that it's beferish in the Rashi. Reuven says, no one cared. Reuven said, Omar, ani bechor, the godol shebekulon, lo yitle hasir choin elabi. I have to make the right decision. I'm responsible. It matters to me. What's the Musar Haskel of this Rashi? If you want to live a responsible life, you have to put yourself in a position of responsibility. It's a wonderful thing to have responsibility because that makes you a different person. That makes you into a different person. If you live a life of hefkeros, of no responsibilities, you have no responsibilities in life, not to a wife, not to children, not to your friends, there's no accountability, then you're hefker. You live a life of hefker. You can do whatever you want. You can sell your own brother down the river. It doesn't make one bit of a difference. If every single one of the brothers had to face accountability for their actions in some way or form in this world, he never would have been sold. And we would never be here today in Golos. It would have been a different world. It's because eight of the brothers lived a life of hefkeros. There's no accountability. No accountability, anything. No accountability. So then you do whatever you want. You learn. You know, there are certain yeshivas, they give exams. You're here to learn, you take an exam. You don't just sit and learn and do whatever you want here. There's accountability. If you live in a society, or you create a society where there's no accountability, then look what could happen. You can sell your own brother. But if there's accountability in life, it's a different life. You yourself may not believe, what do I care? Care this, that, I don't really care. But I'm responsible, so I have to care. And once you make believe, once you start practicing, make believe that you care, you know what happens? You really do care. Ultimately, it makes an impression upon you. The Musa Haskell is to strive to have a life, to put yourself in positions, in environments, in situations where there is accountability. If you can go to a learning program where they'll give exams, or go to a learning program where there are no exams, you have to go to the one that is an exam, where there's accountability. It totally changes your life. Don't say it's l'shem shamayim. People say, oh, you learn Torah, no exams. You know what? Because that's not learning. Learning is l'shem shamayim. Here the brothers, they were willing to murder their brother l'shem shamayim. You know why? Because there's no bechina. There's no exam. There's no accountability. There's no accountability. You'll murder your brother l'shem shamayim. You learn l'shem shamayim. But Reuven, who's the same l'shem shamayim, he's the same l'shem shamayim. No. We're not going to murder nobody here. No way. We're not going to murder nobody here. The Torah says, Eidos, l'man hashivoy el aviv. Okay, next vart. Now this vart is explosive. Because we discussed, we had an explosive shir on this, and we evoked a lot of emotion on this, and I want to add one more log to the fire. Remember the Mishaberach? We had this big argument. I never did any research anyway. The Mishaberach in the art school Siddur. Let me get a Siddur. In the art school Siddur, we learned that there's a Mishaberach when the person has a boy or a girl. I did some research. I looked in some other old sidurim, and many of them don't have this. They don't have the same nusach. They have a shorter nusach. I didn't look into it where this nusach comes from. The nusach, the words are, let me turn to Kriyas HaTorah on the weekday. Okay, a person has a boy or a girl. Let's, for the moment, focus on the boy, and we'll do the girl in one moment. Mishaberach, avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who yivarech eso isha hayoledes. May this woman, this mother, who has given birth, and her name, Ploinis bas Ploini, her father's name, v'yasbina, her child, hanoilad lo b'mazel tov. Bavur. So here are the words which do not appear in most Siddurim, and it only appears in the art scroll Siddur, which I have no doubt comes from somewhere very reliable. Bavur Sheba'ala, this woman's husband. Ve'oviv, and his father. Yitain Litzdaka. So I asked you, about a week ago, what does it mean, ve'aviv? Who is the subject of the word ve'aviv? So simply you'll tell me it's referring to the baby, the newborn baby. I have a little baby, little teeny baby. It's only 2 days old. And we're making a mishaberach in shul. And we're making a mishrech for the mother, the isha hayoledes, bavur shebala, bala, this woman's husband, ve'aviv, and the baby's father. So I said to you, this doesn't make any sense to me. The way it's expressed sounds to me, there are two different people. This woman currently has a husband, but the baby of the child, the father of this child, is a different person. It's a different person. In other words, the baby is the mamzer. Isn't that what it says? But we're shabala, this woman's husband, the aviv, and the father of the baby. Which sounds to me like she has a husband, and this baby has a father that happens to be not the husband. Which, in other words, which means the baby's the mamzer. Yitin litzdaka, they should give tzedakah. That's absurd! Absurd to say such a thing. So what are you going to tell me when Mayor Appeldorf, he insists that this is the pshat. He's not going to let up. He insists that when it says here the word ve'aviv, it should be translated this woman's husband, who is the father. Who is the father of the baby. So when it says the vav means shebala, this woman's husband, who is the father of the baby, should give yitin litzdaka. I guess that's what you have to say, right? That's what you have to say. But the question is a good question. No, the question to me, in my mind, is still a good question, that the way it's expressed to me does not sound right. So I suggested to you a chiddush, which a lot of people here in the shir did not like, that when it says ve'aviv means, it means Shebala, the father. The aviv of the Bala, the grandfather. So we're making your Mishaberach for who? For the Isha Hayoledes, Bavur Shebala, her husband, the aviv, and the father of her husband, her father-in-law. Yitain litzdaka. That's what what about her father? No, if it would refer to her father, then it should say the aviha. But it says the aviv. The aviv is going back on the male, the aviv. So a lot of people here said to me, why in the world would you want to give a Misha Berach for the Shver, for her Shver, for the father, for the grandfather? Who cares? He's not the one that had the baby. The one that had the baby is the father, Shebala, which is the father, and the Aviv, and you want to make a Misha Berach for the father's father, the grandfather of the baby? Who cares about the grandfather? So guess what? It's a Rashi in this week's parsha that proves that I'm right. If you want to accept the proof, which I'm not so sure I'm right, but I want to bring out a point to bring out a point in this debate. What happens after Mechiras Yosef? Let's read Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef, they go and they do terrible things. They go and they bring the Kesoynes Pasim. They dip it in blood, and they bring the Kesoynes Pasim. The Kesoynes Pasim, Vayaviu El Avihem. They bring the Kesoynes Pasim to their father. Vayomru Zois Motsanu. Look what we found. Hakerno Hakesoynes Binchahim Loi. Vayakiro Vayomer Kesoynes Binichayora Acholosu. Torov Taraf Yosef. Now look at this. Vayikra Yaakov Simloi Sof. He writes his Kriya. Vayosim Sakbim Osnov. And he mourns for many days. All of the kinderlach, they get up to be Menachem, the father. Yaakov Avinu refuses to find comfort. Ki ered el bini ovel shol. I'm going to go into the grave, into Gehenna for this. And now there are three words. Mayor, you hear? You're paying attention to this mayor. Vayevch oisoy oviv. If you would not read Rashi, and you would not look in any commentary, how would you translate these words? Yaakov, who is the father of Yosef, cries. Vayevch oisoy oviv. Yaakov Avinu, first it says, it goes through the whole process, all the repetition. He rises kriya. He puts on sak b'mosnav. Vayisabel al benoy. They try to be menachem. Vayimoyin lehisnachem. He refuses. Ki erid al benoy avel sho'ayla. Anochamol. He says, you know, by the way, it's the only time it says he cried. It doesn't say before that he cried. This is the only time it says that he cried, so it's not even repetition. Vayev oisay aviv. He cried, Aviv is who? Yaakov, the father of Yosef. And it says, look, Ki erid al bini. Am I going to go down into the grave in this state of agony? Vayevch oisay Aviv, right? It's clear as day that the Aviv is Yaakov and the Ben is Yosef. That's what I would say. Who wouldn't say that? Read Rashi. Vayevch oisay Aviv, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Rashi. Vayevch oisay Aviv. Who is Aviv? Yitzchak. The Zeda is the Aviv. Yitzchak was still alive at the time of Mechiras Yosef. When Yitzchak saw the tsar of his son Yaakov, Yitzchak hoye boiche mipnei tsoroso shel Yaakov. Avolohoye misabel. He was not misabel, Rashi goes on to say, because he knew al piruach hakodesh that Yosef was alive. And he said that if Hashem didn't tell him, I'm not going to tell him. Rashi only says one pshat in the pasuk. No one would say this. You read the pasuk, everyone would attach the word Aviv in reference to Yaakov. He's coming to be Misabel on Yosef, his son. And Rashi says, out of the blue, you wouldn't even know he's alive. Yitzchak is still alive. Didn't we learn in last week's parasha that he died? I thought he died already, last week's parasha. It says in last week's parasha that he died. Oh, Trias HaMesim? Ein Mokdim HaMe'ochar. That's what it says here. It says Yitzchak was crying for the Tsar of Yaakov. That my son Yaakov is mourning over the loss of Yosef. I see the agony he's in. When my son has Tsar, I have Tsar. If a father has so much tsar, when his son has tsar, al achas kama v'kama, ben b'noishol kal v'choymer, does the father have simcha when his son has simcha? Al achas kama v'kama. Here, Yaakov thought he lost his child. He thought he lost his child. And Yitzchak the Zeda is in his avelus, is crying. Could you imagine when a person has a child, the grandfather has joy? What is the joy for the grandfather? This is something very interesting. When a grandfather has joy over when you have a grandchild, why do you have joy? Test yourself. Why do you have nachas when you have a grandchild? They announce, we had a baby. You have nachas. It's because you have that nachas. The ikur nachas is to see that your children have nachas. That your children had a child, it gives them fulfillment. It gives them shleimus. Your children have joy. You have joy. The ikur simcha a grandfather has over his grandchildren is not the grandchild. It's the simcha that his children have, that they were zoicha to have a child. That's the ikra simcha. That's what you learn here from this Rashi. Vayevch oisay aviv. So now, Who's the big Baal Simcha when a woman gives birth? It's the grandfather. It's the grandfather. It's Zelu Mazeh. It's a Mishaberach, Aveseinu. You make this whole Mishaberach, and you say Bavur Shebala, that her husband, the Oviv, the father of her husband, not the father of the baby, because that implies the father of the baby is not the husband. The baby's a mamzer.
We're back to our question of a viha by a girl.
Okay, so now I'll give you two answers. That's where we're going. Okay, so let's just get this straight. Let's get this settled first. Let's make believe there is no girl here in the siddur. Let's do one thing at a time here. Okay, one thing at a time. This is the pshat. This has to be the pshat. I don't like the other pshat to say that it's the bala which is the father. I don't go for that.
That's, oh, I have here, I have an old thing from their early
20s. They take it out.
For a girl.
Oh, girl. Hey, wait. Okay, wait a second. I know, hold on. You're both asking on the girl. I want to first make believe there is no girl. I want to first discuss a grandson, a boy. A boy is born. Bavur Shebino. Bavur, right? It says over here, Bescharzeh. Bino, a boy, a male. Shanoila lo bimazol toiv. Bavur sheba'alo v'aviv. So I'm telling you now, the aviv cannot be the father of the baby, because that would mean the baby is a mamzer. So who then does it mean? It means the father of the father. He has the nachas. Just like vayevch oisoy aviv, it's here there's joy. Now, you're all now going to attack me. Because if this was correct, then we should say the exact same word if this fellow has a girl. So when it comes to the girl, on the side of the article Sidur, on the left side, Bita, there's Bita, Hanoldo lo b'mazel tov, Bavur sheba'alo, and what does it say over here? Ve'aviho. And her father. Ooh, her father. If what I said was correct, it should say, Sheba'ala, her husband, Ve'aviv, the grandfather. The grandfather is Mole Simcha, that he has a granddaughter. Right? It should be the same exact thing, but it says Ve'aviha. Oh, Aviha, now it doesn't make any sense. So now it sounds more like, it sounds like the father of the baby girl. But then my question is reinstated, then that means the baby girl is a mamzeres. So what do you want to say then? You want to say then that maybe when it says the avia means here, when she has a girl, we want to give a mishaberach to the mother's father. The aviha. So you'll ask me why when you have a boy, do you make a mishaberach for the mother's, for the father's father? And when you make a mishpech for the girl, for a girl, you make a mishpech for the mother's father. So I'll give you two answers. Number one, that's the reality. When a grandfather learns that his son had a baby girl, he doesn't relate to it that much. You know why? Because he has a son. He lives in a world of men. Now, I'm saying you're not going to like what I'm saying, but I want to bring out the point anyway, and I'll tell you another answer. When a person has a son, I know what a son is. I know what this is. I relate. I have a son. My son has a son. Oh, I know what that's like. I have first-hand knowledge of what that's like. I had a son. My son has a son. Oh, I have incredible joy. Again, this all works with the principle. The Iker joy is not for the baby. That's the mistake we're making. When you have a grandchild, the Iker simcha you have is that your children have joy, that they have children, not over the grandchild. So if I have a son and my son has a son, I know what my son is going through. I can relate. So we make a mishbech for the father. But if my son has a girl, Do I really relate to that? No, I don't. I may have other children that are, but do I really relate to that? I don't. I know what it's like to have a son in relation to this particular child, but I don't know what it's like to have a girl. Right now, we're focusing on this child. My son had a son, I can relate. My son had a daughter? I don't relate to that. So you know what? Get lost. You know what? Let's go look at the mother. The mother has a father. When this father's daughter has a son, does he relate to it? No. I have a daughter. I know what it's like to have a daughter. I don't know what it's like to have a son. So I can't relate to my daughter when she has a son. But when my daughter has a daughter, oh, I relate to that. Because I know what it's like to have a daughter. So I can relate to my daughter having a daughter. So then
that's
we
Shot is very good why we never mention the Shviga. Because the Shviga doesn't relate whether it's a son or a daughter.
Then I could the aside of this part is what it says here in this parasha. The ikur nachas of a grandfather is not the grandchild. It's the nachas in seeing your children have nachas. Can you relate to that? Well, when a father, when you have a grandson, then the ikur primary person who can relate is the father of the father. When you have a granddaughter, the primary person that can relate to having a daughter is the father of the mother. So now it's v'aviha, b'avor shebala, the father of the girl, v'aviha, and the father of the mother, because he can relate. And that's a very nice drush, but you know what I want to tell you is the ikar, I can't prove this to you at all, but with this smoke, this fire. Good Shabbos. I really believe that in the old Siddur where this came from, they didn't even write a Mishaberach for girls. I'm willing to bet, I can't prove this to you, that the original Misha Berach was just for a boy. Misha Berach, Avoseinu, they didn't have all this sophisticated art school computerized equipment to have lines on the left side for the boy, the right side for the girl. They didn't have all this. They wrote the basic bare bone Misha Berach, and you figure out all the permutations. That's how it was in all of the old Siddurim. You fill in the dots. You just will give you the template. What do you think this is? This is a desktop publishing? It wasn't like this in the olden days. The Siddurim were just skeletons. So it's very likely, I'm making a theory, that in the olden days, when this Misha Berach was probably first composed and put into print, all it was the Misha Berach for a boy. And when it comes to a girl, you figure it out. So for a boy, what did they write? They wrote, Bavur Shabinas Ves Bino, Hanoyla Bamazda, Bavur Shabalo Vyoviv. We want to really give a Misha Berach to the Zay, the father of the father. Okay, it's a man's world, the father of the father. Whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl. And some printer came along and decided, we're going to make a new siddur. We're going to go put in for a girl also. And he didn't know this whole pshat that I just told you, this whole lamdas I just told you. He didn't know this whole Rashi over here. So he didn't know what it says, v'aviv. So, for a boy, you say v'aviv. Oh, I'm a big expert in diktuk, so I know for a girl, you say v'avia. You blew it. You totally messed up the whole thing. You don't know what you're doing altogether. I'm willing to bet that this Misha Berach was only written for men, and it was assumed that when you want to make it for a girl, you'll do the right thing. You'll just say bavur. You just change one word. Bavur shebita hanodula b'masav. Bavur shebala ve'aviv. They only had one Misha Berach.
The social economic terms. There was no press. The only way you knew someone had a baby was when they made an announcement in shul. For a boy, you knew the yichus of the father and the grandfather. For the girl, who was a potential shidduch date, you wanted to know her shidduch, her yichus from the mother's side. So therefore, you knew already the father and his grandfather. Now you know the woman's name, whatever, Leah, Bas. Her father was Yitzchak. So you knew the yichus from both sides, so you can start planning a shidduch or whatever.
This all comes from Rashi in this week's parsha. Vayevch olav aviv. This is a gold mine, this Rashi. Who is the subject? You would never ever guess this. No one would ever guess this. The aviv is Yitzchak. That opens up a whole new world to understand what is the ikar nachas, the ikar tzar a parent has when it comes to grandchildren. And it opens up a whole new understanding of this Mishaberach and our suggestions of how to look at the Mishaberach. And I really think deep down in my heart that it's a big, that the, for the girl, it's a big, it was just a printer's error. All right, Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Rabbi Levine,
yeah, yeah.
Rabbi Levine, if you look at the Rabbeinu Bachaya, he says that, which says the Aviv, he says it refers to Yaakov.
Okay, Rabbeinu Bachaya.
What Rashi is saying is a drush.
Okay, but Rashi says it. Rashi doesn't say another pshat. Rashi doesn't say Medrash Agada. Rashi always says Loibasi Ela Lefarish. And Rashi doesn't give us any other option. There's no question you can have many Mefarish that are going to tell you many different ideas. But Rashi is Rashi. You can't go wrong with a Rashi. Rashi makes no other statement. He says, and he doesn't apologize. He doesn't tell you it's a Medrash Agada. And he doesn't say, Rashi has a lot of different words to tell you what I'm saying now is not pshat. He just says it as a matter of fact. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it opens up a real whole new world of insight into grandparents and grandchildren and children, and it definitely gives a new insight into the Mishaberach, if you want to accept what I'm trying to say about the Mishaberach. Because the alternative is to say that the baby is a mamzer. All right, Rabbi, have a wonderful Shabbos. Enjoy Chanukah. Be well.
I still have a problem, Rabbi Fry.
Yeah.
You don't say the name of the grandfather.
Okay.
So when the father, he already got an aliyah. He just got all an aliyah
right.
From Taurus. Your name is.
You don't Yaakov. Say in this Mishaberach name of the father
you
either.
You say aliyah means the grandfather. You know it's Yitzchak.
Who so says the father is getting an aliyah? Who says the father is getting an aliyah? Maybe he's not getting an aliyah. You can make this Mishaberach even if the father does not get an aliyah. They do that sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that. But usually it is when he gets
okay,
aliyah.
Okay.
So when you say Aviha is the father of the woman,
okay,
you don't
I
know
hear.
The name. It doesn't say. The Sfardim, I noticed today, do something else. You get an aliyah, they say, Mishaberach Avram ben Yitzchak. Then they say, Vegam, Shlomo ben David, Vegam.
Vegam.
They say Vegam, and you add as many names as you want. The Vegam. Over here we just say Ve. So the Ve is a... It's a...
It's the problem. The Ve. Yeah. It looks like another person.
Why can't you say it's the baby's father? And the baby in one case was a male, the baby was a female.
So
they changed the gender.
That's the question we keep... It sounds like it's a mamzer. Bavur Shabala, her husband...
No.
The Aviv.
And the baby's father.
So wait a minute. Are they two people or are they one? Was it the two different people or one person?
The baby is in the first Mishaberach, a male and his father. And in the second Mishaberach, it's a girl and her father.
Who's her father? Her father is her husband.
Rabbi Freund, do you make a Mishaberach for a mamzer?
No, you don't make a Mishaberach for a mamzer.
There was a mamzer born in Munkach, and the Minchas Zolozer was the Moyo, and he says his name is Shaya Getzel. Because when you say it fast, it's Shay Getzel.
Yeah. It's true. It's a very big problem. Dr. Freeman. Wait, I want to clarify Dr. Freeman. Dr. Freeman.
That in Yiddish you say Acht. Hey, Achdus, you say 8 days of Hanukkah is Achdus. Achdus. Is Achdus.
Very nice. It's very nice. Achdus. Dr. Friedman, there are two words. Shabala. You have a woman, has a husband. And then it says Ve'oviv. The father of the baby, you want to say, right? The father of the baby. So in other words, what you want to say is Bavur Shabala, her husband, who is the father of the baby. Isn't that obvious? So you don't need to say the word v'aviv. By saying the word v'aviv, it sounds like this woman is married.
You're giving the baby's father. You're not making mishpach for, I mean, you're making mishpach for the lady, but and, it's the baby's father.
And what you're saying, bavur shebala, this woman's husband. Don't we have a right to assume that the woman's husband is the father of the baby? You're on mute, Dr. Freeman, you're on mute. I can't hear you. You're on mute.
I'm on mute?
No, now you're good, now you're good, now you're good, now you're good. Don't we have a right to assume that the father, that the husband, that this woman's husband is the father of the baby? So by saying, so that's all you need to say, Bavur Shabala. Or say, Bavur Shabala, Ve'oviv. Ve'oviv. It's out. So you want Bala, which is the
you
father.
Make a mishabach, no, I still disagree. You make a mishabach for your grandchildren. So you
what,
say.
What grandchildren? We're making.
So say, Ben Chaim is a lady.
We're not making for the grandchildren here.
Why do you have to say Ben Abbas, the grandfather's name? You said it once already. We know who it is the rest of the time.
This Mishaberach is not.
That you can say Ben or Bas.
This Mishaberach is a Mishaberach for the Isha Hayoledes. It's not for the person who got the Aliyah. It's the words are Mishaberach Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Hu Yivarech Es Ho Isha Hayoledes.
Binah
Hanoila Lo B'Mazel Tov. Bavur.
Right.
Bavur.
So you make a Mishaberach for the Isha
Hayoledes.
So
no. There's Isha Hayoledes. That Isha Yoledes, yes, right, and the baby, yes, bino,
right.
Fine.
So
but
the nusach of a bracha is that when you make a mishaber for a person, you say the father. So instead of saying ha Isha Yoledes, Leah Bas Yaakov, you just say ha Isha Yoledes.
No, you say her whole name. That's irrelevant.
And instead of saying ha Yeled ben Shmuel, you say ha the Yeled ben. Ben Aviv.
This is what it says in the Nusach. The Nusach says you say the Isha Yoledes, her name, her father's name, whatever.
I think
we're
going to fight over a Nusach.
Read the Nusach. You're making up new Nusachs. I'm trying to understand this Nusach. Let's read the Nusach that we have
in
the
Siddur. It's a very good Rush. It's a wonderful Rush according to Rashi.
But I don't understand you. To go say the simple understanding, Vabur Shabala, her husband, Ve'oviv. Two different words. They're the same person. If the subject of Aviv is the baby, so the baby's father is her husband. So why is there a Vav? It sounds, if you want to read the words literally, it sounds like, oh, this woman, guess what? She has a husband. Very nice. So let's be mechabed him. He's not the father of the baby. He's a new guy. He just married her recently. And the baby? Oh, the baby was fathered by another person, for Aviv. It's absurd. So, and you want to twist the words to say her husband, which is the father. Then say it like that. Bavur Shabala Shuhu Aviv. What's the...
Ba'ala Av Hatinok.
Right, Ba'ala Av Hatinok.
That's it.
The Aviv is a new person.
So let's take out the Bav and we'll be happy.
Like of Kalman. Bavur Shabala Av Shabur Shabala Av Hatinok Av Hayelet. What's the Ve'oviv?
Ba'aloviv.
They mentioned it twice because they wanted to get more money. They say ten litzdakah. So he has to be for his wife and for the baby.
It's a very misleading nusach. It sounds like it's a mamzer.
Look at the new.
That's another proof. He tends. Right.
But anyway, I wanted to ask you about the name.
Clonimus. So I did some research. There is no, guess what? There is no pasuk, according to the computer, this is not my research. Someone actually looked for a clonimus. There's an online resource with all the pasukim for every single name in the world. Person's an expert in computers. He compiled every single name with every single pasuk. When he comes to Kloinimus, Kuf Samach, he says he searched Tanakh, he writes there, I searched the entire Tanakh with a computer. There is no pasuk in the entire Tanakh that begins with a kuf and ends with a samach. It does not exist. So he has. So he says the eitzah is, he says, that, I don't really understand, he says you should look for a pasuk, you need a computer to do this also. Look for a pasuk that has, in one word, there is a kuf and a lamed together, and also the word begins, one word that begins with a kuf and a lamed and ends with a samach. I don't know how to find that. I have to figure out where to find that. That's what the solution is. If you can't find the whole pasuk, then you should find the pasuk which has a word which the first two letters of the word are the first two letters of your name, and the last letter of the word is the last letter of your name. And if you can't even find that, you should just look for a pasuk that you feel is mirames. There's something about this pasuk that is mirames to you, the name Kolonimus. Kolonimus. Either a gematria. I looked a little bit. I looked for a gematria. I couldn't find it. I looked for a pasuk that has a gematria, exactly one pasuk. It's a short gematria.
Sorry.
I couldn't find a pasuk that's a gematria.
What I am using, because the kuf from the first name and the nun,
okay,
the second name,
right?
And that's it.
Right. So he brings down two, if you have two. Right. He does bring down that if you have two names, you should ideally say two psukim. He does say that. You really right. should say two psukim, like what you said. But he brings down kuf samach. He says, I searched the whole Tanakh. I have to show this to you. Do you have you? I can maybe email it to you. Search the whole Tanakh. No, the ganz Tanakh. And the eights in these situations, I don't know where he gets this from, is one word in the middle of the pasuk or anywhere that has three letters. The first kuf lamid, I got to find such a word. And then maybe in a dictionary. I have to go to a dictionary, Hebrew dictionary. Kuf lamid, and then we'll find the pasuk in Tanakh. Kuf lamid, and then the samach at the end of the word. If you have a pasuk, that in that pasuk you feel there's a remez to your name, in some way or form, but you have an affinity to this pasuk, it says something there which captures what the name Kleinimus is, in any shape or form, that's the pasuk.
I wish I know what it means, because I know that I'm named after my grandfather, and my grandfather was named after his
grandfather.
And both of them, because Ma'ova Shemesh, I don't know. Ma'ova Shemesh was Kolonimus Kalman.
Kolonimus Kalman. It's a famous name. Kolonimus Kalman is a popular name. Yeah, it's a name. Kolonimus Kalman. I know someone else.
It's an old name.
Rashi's one of Rashi's Rebbeim, I think, was named. Rashi quotes every so often a Kolonimus Kalman.
Yeah, right.
Kalman is a mechuna. Kalanim is a mechuna Kalman.
No.
Yeah, but
it's two names, they go together.
They call both of them.